Bing bong. I'm back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I am joined by Andrew of Galoy. Galoy is the company that helped develop Bitcoin Beach Wallet, also known as Blink. So Andrew has some great experience. We talk a lot about the grassroots movement and how that is developing throughout the globe to help with Bitcoin mass adoption. So stay tuned for another action-packed episode. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Give me a 5-star rating. Tell me why you love the show. And remember that this is not financial advice. Everything you hear in this podcast should not be taken as financial advice. Big shout out to my sponsor, a brand new one, the Bitcoin Advisor. I, myself, Brandon, have joined forces with the Bitcoin Advisor to bring you some solutions to help you figure out how to purchase Bitcoin, store it off of an exchange, set up some great other things, like, you know, if you somehow pass, unfortunately, that might happen in the future, and you need to figure out how to pass on that Bitcoin to your loved ones. The Bitcoin Advisor does it all. We can help you develop multiple solutions for multiple different ways. So be sure to check us out at thebitcoinadvisor.com/greencandle. That's bitcoinadvisor.com/greencandle. And that's advisor, S-E-R, not S-O-R. I myself get confused a little bit with that. So tune in for that. And shout out to the number one jerseys in the game, Hodlers Official. That's H-O-D-L. ERSofficial.com. You can use promo code GreenCandle to get 10% off your entire order. So be sure to get one of those Satoshi Genesis packs. He also has some great new jerseys coming out here soon for the Christmas season. So be on the lookout for that. And lastly, shout out to Sovereign Energy. That's SVRNEnergy.com. You can get the number one energy drink 10% off with promo code GreenCandle, and you get sats back. So not only do you get 10% off, you get some Satoshis with every single sip. All right, enough for me now. Let's get into the show. Whoosh. Bing bong. I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I've got the man, the myth, the legend, Andrew here of Galoy, the company who helped create Bitcoin Beach Wallet. Obviously, the circular economy started down in Bitcoin Beach, El Zante, in El Salvador, was at the forefront of the grassroots movements of all of Bitcoin adoption, essentially. You know, obviously El Salvador now with Bitcoin as legal tender. So Andrew, on that note, let's start off right off the bat, man. What was it like in El Salvador being down there? Obviously we met down in adopting Bitcoin. And what do you think about the circular economy that they've built down there in El Salvador, not just in El Zante, but in throughout the entire country?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. Super excited to chat today. Just coming back from El Salvador for the third time. And each year it's evolving and changing, and Bitcoin adoption is growing, albeit not in a straight line, right? It's hard adopting new technology, and I'm super excited that El Salvador is the first country doing so. And, you know, I feel kind of humbled to play a small role in it, in building a product that is, people are finding use for down there. Like you mentioned, I work at Galoy. We built the Bitcoin Beach Wallet, which is now known as Blink. And, the wallet was initially built for a specific purpose, which is helping to create local circular economy, or circularity in the economy, which means, like, not just for a user paying with Lightning, but for a merchant accepting Lightning, Bitcoin. And so there are many features built into the wallet, specifically kind of for that purpose. That was in 2020, right? That was pre-Bitcoin law. And so it's been, I hadn't joined the team yet. I joined in 2021, but it's been a really cool adventure to see, like, the world go from Bitcoin Beach, which was this experiment of, like, can we build a circular economy with Bitcoin, all the way to today, where, you know, I hosted a panel down there last week called the Circular Economy Big Bang. And we actually had a guy from the Netherlands in Arnhem Bitcoinstad, who started a circular economy in 2014. So Bitcoin Beach wasn't really the true first necessarily, but they were kind of the one that I would say set off the explosion, because sort of the world lightning existed at that time and the world really focused on it. And it also was coupled with the legal tender law. So, since Bitcoin Beach kind of became a mecca for Bitcoiners to travel to and to learn from, I've been connected with, 20, 30, 40, depending on how you slice and dice different circular economy projects around the world that are kind of spawning in the spirit of Bitcoin Beach, both within and outside of El Salvador. And on the same panel where I had Patrick from Bitcoin Stad, I had this guy Valentin from Peru, where they're building, multiple communities in the Peruvian Andes, the unbanked communities. They're using connecting with Bitcoin and enabling a circular economy. And then also the newest sort of on the block this year was Bitcoin Berlin, which is in a mountain town, Berlin. It's like the other Berlin from Berlin, Germany, where they've already got 60 merchants on board. So like the idea of bottom-up adoption, using Bitcoin as money for everyday payments is catching on in a big way. And like, it's super cool to be part of it.
Yeah, for sure. So, obviously we've kind of seen the development of El Salvador, right? I mean, this was my first time down there, but everybody was commenting on all the positives that's happened in like the past year to year, right? I mean, I grew up in Austin, so the way I can relate to this is, every time I would go back for college, it seemed like some new shopping center or something else was popping up. And the development of Austin obviously is one thing, but I mean, it seems like from El Salvador's point, it's been like new roads. Everybody has, there's buildings popping up. It seems like there's a lot of construction going on, obviously all positive signs. So, from your perspective, being there for 3 years, like what has been the most, inspiring kind of change that you've seen? And, obviously it's not all equated to Bitcoin, but I feel like, at a certain point, you got to look at some of the facts, and equating some of this success to Bitcoin has to reign true. So how much of a part do you think the circular economy that's been created down in El Salvador has played a role in, the positive developments for the country as a whole?
Yeah, I think that, like you said, it's not a lot is happening in El Salvador, and it's not just Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin does play a role. Bitcoin Beach does play a role. President Bukele even said when he introduced the Bitcoin law, he joined a Twitter space. I remember it like it was yesterday, but it was like Nick Carter, Alec Gladstein, and 25,000 people that were just like, blown away by the fact that they had just announced this legal tender law. And he referenced Bitcoin Beach as like an example that like Bitcoin can be used as legal tender. You can pay for a pupusa or a coffee, with Bitcoin. And so it was definitely inspirational, and I think it remains to be inspirational. I think it's like an important place for Bitcoiners to visit, to try out the products they work on, right? Like there is no better way to evaluate your design decisions than to like travel to a place where they're trying to use your product on a daily basis with maybe old phones, with people who are not technology and internet natives who don't have digital bank accounts, right? Like old phones, poor internet connection in certain areas. And so what Bitcoin Beach did was provided, I would say, like a beacon, really to try this out. I mean, it was a pretty bold move, and I think that it's paid off big. And then in terms of like the country in general, I'm really happy about how safe the country has become. I mean, El Salvador was known for like crime, right? As recent as a few years ago. That is not the case anymore. I mean, the tourism is increasing, investment, Google is setting up an office there. Bitcoin is legal tender. And so there's a lot of attention in that way. And like you said, roads, I've seen it firsthand, right? So 3 years in a row, roads are improving, buildings, people are working on landscaping, working on, improving or building buildings. And so I'm really happy and bullish for the people of El Salvador. There are criticisms for, the methods used, I would say, to reduce the crime rate and things like that. And that's all well and good. I mean, that's appropriate to take any leader and kind of examine and critique the methods. But I think the result is easy to see. And I even spoke to some young Salvadoran guys. They must have been 20, 22 years old. And they had incredibly nuanced view of what was going on. And it wasn't like, yay, like, rah, rah. And it wasn't like, oh, this is horrible. It was like, yeah, there are good and bad to every situation. And there is in this situation. And so, like, yeah, it's really interesting to see. But, like, net net, I think that the ability for somebody to let their kid, like, bike ride down the street is, like, is different, right? Like, I work with people who are native Salvadoran. I work with people who have moved there from other countries. And I think that the direction is positive for El Salvador. So really, really cool to see.
Yeah, 100%. And I can relate with that. I mean, I had a guy who was driving me around for a little bit of it, and he was just like almost in tears. We drove by like a park late at night. He picked me up from El Zante like 7-8 o'clock, or maybe even later than that. So we were driving around Friday night, and it was like 10 o'clock at night. And there's a park with kids just playing around in there. And it was almost brought to tears, because it's just like, you know, like a couple years ago, this just wasn't a reality. So I think like that has also played a big role in, you know, just the perception of El Salvador as well. So I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Obviously, you know, some of his tactics, maybe some people don't agree fully with, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think if Bukele for some reason doesn't get reelected in this next cycle, I think people can look back and say that his time was a success, to say the very least. But, you know, there's a lot of other grassroots movements popping up, right? I mean, I've heard Bitcoin Lake, Bitcoin Jungle, you know, Bitcoin, whatever you want to think, whatever environment you can think of. I think at a certain point, there's a Bitcoin related circular economy. So, you know, from your experience, just kind of, obviously you got there a little after, you know, the Bitcoin Beach story kind of took fold and whatnot. But, you know, working at Galloway, I feel like you guys are very much like trying to help the grassroots movements. So from that, you know, what do you think about all of these, you know, Bitcoin circular economies popping up? You know, we were kind of talking a little bit pre-show about, you know, the lack of like big time merchant adoption. So, you know, from there, do you think that, yeah, I guess it needs to start at the grassroots in order to get the attention of the big players? Or, you know, do you maybe foresee something that maybe some of these big dogs will start to figure it out eventually?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the people who experience people who experience pain look for a solution, right? Or who are limited in one way or another. And, you know, being somebody who lives in the States, you know, I recognize that, you know, a lot of the people that I interact with on a day-to-day basis here don't have, or don't know that they have, the type of problems that Bitcoin solves. And so, you know, as it's more of like, I would say in certain, you know, the States or many areas of Europe, it's like, you know, Bitcoin as a store of value, like instead of, you know, my money in real estate or the stock market or wherever, like actually Bitcoin might be like a good place for some, you know, part of my portfolio. But in most of the world, or many, many areas of the world, you know, there is no savings to speak of. You don't have a 401k to have the luxury of where to put that, you know, put that for 4 years. Rather, you need access to money that is not hyperinflating. You need access to digital payments, right? And so I think a lot of what people saw in Bitcoin Beach was a community that previously was dealing in physical cash, in El Salvador's case, USD, right? Who now could use the best money ever to accept payment for their services. They could now actually tap into a global market. So there's people in El Salvador giving Spanish lessons to somebody in New York, getting paid in Satoshis at a really fair, good rate, right? And now they're starting to say, oh, I'm actually building up savings, right? You know, one of the things Mike Peterson of Bitcoin Beach said in an early pod that I listened to that kind of hit me was, you know, people were buying extra cinder blocks because they know the price of cinder blocks goes up over time. And so you're saving in cinder blocks, right? And now it's like, okay, you have access to you know, the world's best money. And so, like you said, you know, Bitcoin Ekasi in South Africa, you know, Bitcoin Mountain in Cameroon, you got Bitcoin Kampala in Uganda, you got, so across Africa, South America, Central America, you have people who are building circular economy projects. And not only are they taking notes from what like happened in Bitcoin Beach, but they're adding their own flavor or their own tools and sharing that. And so like Brazil, Fernando, I think I have mine here. Oh no, I might be upstairs. I have one of the payment terminals with the printer, you know, the receipt. And Fernando has been ordering those and loading them up with Bitcoin apps and wallets and shipping them to people. And he started a program called Fruits for 10 Sats, where in a local school, kids buy bananas and fruit for 10 sats a piece. So it's free, it's symbolic, but they're using NFC, like Bolt cards. They're paying with Lightning. And these are like 5-year-old kids, right? And so, you know, it's just really powerful to see like the people that are adopting Bitcoin for payments are doing so to kind of like level themselves up. And the thing that I personally see happening, which I thought a lot about in my recent trip to El Salvador, was we've been in this crab market, right? Sort of bear crab for a while. And me all the while, there's been hundreds of people that are introducing people to Bitcoin through a Lightning wallet, saying, here's less than a dollar worth of sats of value, but now you have a tool, you know how to use Bitcoin. And I can picture like what we're doing is actually we're wiring the world for Bitcoin. And not only like the world, but the people who've been left out of the current financial system are now, they know what Bitcoin is, they might have a wallet, they might have, you know, a little bit of education. So once the Bitcoin sort of price comes back and it becomes a thing, it's just like, I can imagine like the Vegas Strip lighting up with like, you know, everybody using Bitcoin, because, you know, it's a slow process to kind of get your community on board. But once it comes back into the limelight, I could see, you know, everybody really, really taking advantage of it. If you think about when the El Salvador law passed and was put into place, I mean, we were in bull market, you know, city, and like everybody's like, oh, like Bitcoin, great, yay. And then like all of a sudden the bottom fell out, right? And that's the experience of a lot of Salvadorans, was like, hey, Bitcoin is something that can lose like a lot of its value fast, right? Which is true. Only when you find out that one sat equals one sat do you start to realize, you know, a lot of them haven't been through the whole orange pill process. So, yeah, really excited. And we'll, like, maybe the last thing I'll say is the what's happening now or next is like the community of communities. And so I've been working with Roman in Bitcoin Beach and, this guy Scott Wolf and Herman down in South Africa to say, okay, there's 30 or some communities that are trying to do similar things. Like, how do we create connectivity between them to share information, to put each community on the radar of, you know, potential donors who want to support Bitcoin adoption, et cetera. So, I think the future is bright and everybody's getting ready. You know, the bull market will come, but I think that we're kind of wiring up the world to be able to use Bitcoin.
Yeah, and I kind of want to go back to a point that you mentioned about El Salvador adopting during like a bull run up and then experiencing that crash. Obviously, you know, if somebody like the United States did that, it probably wouldn't be a good look, because it's, you know, the United States, allegedly the most powerful country in the world, you know, like all this kind of thing, right? The global reserve currency. But, you know, obviously El Salvador, yeah, they were, I mean, let's face it, at the beginning of all this, they were, you know, a third world country, and that's how they were essentially categorized. And they're still, you know, on the development and on the rise up, but they could afford to make some of these mistakes, afford to not time the market perfectly, that kind of thing. So in a sense, do you think that almost is coming to like a benefit for other countries that are potentially going to go through some of this adoption, seeing like, hey, you know, El Salvador was able to ride this wave of going up and going back down, and then now look at where they're at? You know, obviously we'll be saying this probably in a couple years, not necessarily right now, but a couple years when, you know, Bitcoin does what we think it will, you know, it'll turn out to be a positive for El Salvador, and all they had to do is essentially wait. So, you know, do you think like, I guess maybe the getting in right now, or not right now, but getting in about like last year or a year and a half ago or whatever, was maybe a little bit of a, and seeing the Bitcoin price fall down was maybe a little bit of a detriment to the I guess, quote unquote, marketing to other countries. But like in a couple years and like during this next bull run, obviously more people are going to want to come in. And I think seeing the benefit of El Salvador riding through that ups and downs will, I guess, make it more likely that other countries would come in. Do you feel the same way? Or do you think that, you know, I mean, I guess it just kind of takes an education aspect of it. And the more people, you know, especially those in power learn about Bitcoin, the more that will adopt.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think that, I mean, regardless, the move, it's been an incredibly bold move or series of moves that El Salvador has made. And, you know, the way in which where they sat in terms of like the bull into a bear will definitely, I mean, I think they will benefit if we look back in 5 years from now or 10 years from now. I mean, it'll be a blip at that point. But like remembering this to go like, there's a lot of criticism. And they said, you know what, we're going to buy more Bitcoin. And like, they've definitely been acting like a country, and Bukele has been acting like a president that kind of understands Bitcoin. And like that understands, like, you know, the bear, so to speak, will end. And that, you know, infinity over 21 million is the value. And so I do think it will become a case study for other countries. I was a little surprised that it hadn't already, but at the same time, it's a huge step. I mean, you're walking out on a pretty skinny branch as a country who, you know, given relationships with the world banking system, IMF and everything else, you're taking a stance that isn't super popular. And so I think it's kind of like micro strategy and Saylor, where he's like got a lot of decision making power and made some bold decisions and is willing to, you know, ride those decisions out through ups and downs. That's kind of, I think, the core of what's happening here. I think like future decisions won't be quite as risky as once sort of El Salvador is vindicated with kind of a return, and say we get to 100K Bitcoin or something, and everyone will look back and go like, oh wow, like look at them, they actually wrote it out, right? I've been watching again, you know, years go by as these reports come out from like the big banks or whatever, like, oh, we've downgraded their ratings, and you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, like now the reports are coming out, it's like El Salvador is actually doing quite well in terms of many of the metrics that you measure, you know, a country by. And MicroStrategy similar. And so I think that the vindication is probably, to your question, gonna help others like go, you know what, like look, this is a full like cycle worth of information that you have here. And you know, when some country decides to make a big move at $250,000 Bitcoin and then it draws down to 100, maybe they're gonna be able to point back and say, see, look at this, is we've been here before, and make calculus based on like, you know, past examples. So yeah, it was really bold. It seems like the stage is set for vindication. We'll see, you know, the minute you think you know what Bitcoin's going to do is when it catches you off guard. So I don't make predictions of any sort, but I do see that that El Salvador in general, that the companies and the countries that have made big bets on Bitcoin will, I believe that they're going to be looked at as like Chad moves in the history books.
Yeah, well, I mean, Andrew, I'm going to have to put you on the spot now that you said you don't make predictions, man. I mean, because we've had El Salvador, right? We've had the Central African Republic announce it, and then I haven't really heard much since then. How many more countries do you think will announce in this next calendar year? Because we have so many grassroots movements popping up. I mean, I'm bound to think at least like one or two. Like, what are your predictions here for 24 with the halving coming up and potential of a ETF dropping? I mean, there's going to be a lot of price action potentially. So I'm putting you on the spot, man. Now that you said you don't do predictions, I'm gonna have to get one out of you at least this whole interview.
I don't even know if that. So I would almost evade the question with kind of a perspective that El Salvador was in a unique scenario where they did not have their own currency that they were trying to defend, right? So there are a few, there are less countries that are using the dollar, right? And so, and I would also say that you do not need Bitcoin to be declared legal tender for Bitcoin to succeed in a given country. I think like providing fair regulation, I would say there will be multiple countries in the coming year that make steps towards becoming more regulatory friendly because they see that, with whatever it is, Bitcoin price movement or sort of the evolution, the chain of events, that being friendly toward innovation and companies and free and open source money is beneficial to them without necessarily being legal tender. I think that could be a overblown announcement or maybe unnecessary for this, again, for the success of Bitcoin in a country. I don't know about the announcements, but I do think, I guess the last thing I would say is, there are places where I think like Panama, for instance, where there's not really officially like a legal tender, you can basically trade what you want. So I think it's a little bit more like gray than it is like, okay, we have 190 some countries and we have one out of them that is like Bitcoin is legal tender. It's more like the scale. And I think the scale is, do you have more countries that try to go down a route of a CBDC like surveillance money? Or do you have more countries that say we want to be open and we want to, benefit from Bitcoin versus try and shut it down? And I'm hoping in the next year that that needle pushes more towards Bitcoin than pushes towards CBDC. So that's my prediction.
There we go. I like that. All right. That was good dancing around it. So I appreciate you doing the dance with me. But let's get into Galloway and like kind of the open source software, that the FOSS movement, in Bitcoin. It seems like it's very evident in, I guess all industries essentially like kind of surrounding Bitcoin, right? Especially in the Lightning development and all those kind of things, right? So we've been talking about using Bitcoin as a medium of exchange. Well, I mean, it is kind of interesting too, because part of the adoption curve to me has seen, or at least from like the United States perspective, it's been Lightning with remittances, right? I mean, obviously we were just at Bitcoin Beach, like, the remittance with Strike kind of getting from remittances from the US down to El Salvador and other countries around the world seems to have make waves around that. From what you guys do with transactions, creating Bitcoin Beach Wallet, where do you see the next step being? Do you see it as more of, Lightning transactions, but, completing in dollars? Or do you think that we're going to kind of start to move towards, denominating in sats and spending and earning in sats and that kind of aspect of things? Or do you think that the Bitcoin is almost going to be looked at as like a digital gold, which was the narrative maybe a couple years ago at this point?
Yeah, I think there's probably two things there. One is sort of your unit of account, and the other one is kind of the importance of the free and open source software stack. For the first one, like a lot of the people that can benefit from Bitcoin don't have the luxury to be able to stomach short-term volatility, right? So if I'm in Argentina, my currency is worth less by dinner time than it was when I woke up. And so you see a lot of stablecoin use. And so I don't think that us being like, well, sats is my stablecoin is like very useful for, a huge portion of the world that's dealing with monetary debasement, which is one of the reasons why we created at Galloway a tool. It's an open source product called Stable Sats. It essentially is a USD equivalent value that you can hold inside of a Lightning wallet, and it's fully interoperable with Lightning. So if I'm selling hot dogs on the street, I can enter an invoice for $5. I can have that come into my Stable Sats account. That will stay $5 whether the price goes to 100 or the price dips to 10, right? And it does not have any token. It's not a stable coin. It uses the derivatives contracts. So Arthur Hayes talked about it many years ago, you know, the Bitcoin backed stable, you know, asset or something. And so it uses trading to peg that. It's called a inverse perpetual swap. So, but anyways, long winded way of getting to your question to say, like, nobody is in terms of like the medium of exchange or day-to-day payments, very few people are ready for like this SATS standard, right? Bitcoin is volatile in the short term, and many people who are using it are actually trying to escape downward, you know, escape like not knowing what their money's worth, right? And they have fiat expenses, right? So like a stable SATS or something is, and of course, stable coins are another way that people, you know, try to hold on to their value so that they can, you know, when they wake up the next day, it's worth the same as it was today. The other thing you were mentioning is like, is Galloway. So we're building enterprise or open source banking infrastructure for like enterprise scale applications. We believe that we really need to move open source software up the stack, the Bitcoin stack. So you have layer one, like nobody's going to argue that Bitcoin needs to be open source. That's like a given, right? Bitcoin is open source. Layer two, Lightning, like implementations are open source. But what we're doing is we're building on top of that open source software. And there are other companies that are building open source software on top of Bitcoin and Lightning as well. But not as many as you would like imagine, given how important open source is to all of us. And why is that important? Nicholas gave our CEO gave a presentation at Riga called Move Open Source Up the Bitcoin Stack. And he gave the example that, you know, we're kind of called in, I was watching Corey Clipson last night on Bitcoin Veterans pod, you know, and they did the race to avoid the war, right? Like we're in a race, and we're not fighting against other Bitcoin companies. Competition is good and healthy, but we're like fighting we're racing against CBDCs to like provide better money to the world. And you know, if you're an American company or maybe a European company, like, you have access to capital, you can raise money to build your company. And if we're spending, if we have four companies that are spending 70% of their budget building a similar thing to compete on software against each other, like we're not being as efficient as we can to spend money to get more people into Bitcoin. But B, when a, you know, smart entrepreneur in, you know, Namibia decides that, hey, I want to build an exchange as well. You know, he's got to start from scratch and he doesn't have access to capital like the other four companies. But if we collectively are building, you know, an open source stack of software with a, you know, a ledger, you know, for Galloway, we're building, you know, a Bitcoin bridge called Bria, allows you to interface with Lightning and Bitcoin, a wallet like the Blink, that somebody in Namibia can go, aha, now I'm halfway there. And now I need to, you know, customize to my local jurisdiction, regulation, context, et cetera, then actually we'll be in a positioned in a better place to win the war. So we believe that like building free and open source software is a key to that, is like critical to us winning the race, avoiding the war. Yeah, you're starting to see it. So I guess, you know, I would finish by saying the Bitcoin Beach or Blink now is an open source Lightning wallet, right? And so it is a custodial Lightning wallet. It's one that can be reproduced. And so Bitcoin Jungle, I think you mentioned in Costa Rica, like they're using a forked version of the Bitcoin Beach wallet locally. Not only that, Francis with Bull Bitcoin, they've built in like buy and sell features. Not only that, they've actually contributed back to add to the earn section. So there's education within the Blink wallet that you can like recommend somebody to it and they can learn about Bitcoin. Well, it's gone from 4 to 20 chapters with the support of the developers of Bitcoin Jungle. And there's actually a couple other projects that have been building their own versions of the wallet. And so, yeah, I think that the idea of building free and open source, not just Bitcoin and Lightning, but open source projects on top of it is really important for global adoption.
Yeah, and I want to like hammer that home, right? I mean, it seems like it's very interesting that Bitcoin is very collaborative, right? So, you know, I don't necessarily know about your background pre-Bitcoin, but, you know, it seems like in the tech sector and some of these other ones, it's a lot more cutthroat, right? I mean, it's very like non-collaborative, I would say, from company to company, but it seems like it's the opposite here in Bitcoin. Like, you know, one, has that been your experience? It seems like it has. And then two, like, what is it like working in, you know, an industry where, you know, you reach out to somebody in another company and they're pretty willing to help, or, you know, point you to some open source software that's going to allow you to, you know, complete whatever goal you have?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's nothing short of amazing. I come from the advertising and marketing world. I worked at a lot of agencies, there's a lot of smart people there. It's generally speaking a good experience. However, there's always a little bit of a, to your point, it's a little bit, it's about, a lot of this stuff is about clothes, or it's about, you know, working for big X, big health, bank, auto, whatever, and kind of maybe growing the divide, like, you know, driving the overconsumption that, like, you know, we try to get away from, right? And I think in Bitcoin, it is, like you said, extremely collaborative. We're all kind of on this, not kind of, we're all on a shared vision or mission of, like, improving the money that the world uses. And so, not to hit up Corey twice in this, but Corey shared a tweet like 2 years ago, and it was like, it's not even fair. Like, the talent that you get in Bitcoin companies, you can't compete. You can't pay the people that work on Bitcoin enough to work in, like, fiat. I feel that on a daily basis, like the people that work at Galloway, the people that work at insert, you know, Bitcoin company here, like we wake up with a purpose, right? Like we wake up to push this, you know, this big movement forward. And you see it when, you know, when Barack broke LND or whatever. I remember this is the moment when, like, you know, Barack did like a 999 of 1,000 multi-sig transaction or something like that, and like exposed like a vulnerability in Lightning. Like, I remember it was like that signal went up in like Twitter, and within like hours it was like, all right, you know, like and that was with like people from Lightning, people from Voltage, people from Galloway, people from this, like Zeus, you know, like go down the line, you know, all these people like hopping on at one time. So it's extremely powerful to think about people from all of these different companies, we're all building different tools in the toolbox, right? But that you need a full toolbox or tool belt for Bitcoin adoption, right? So we build a custodial open source Lightning wallet, right? You know, I was connecting with Evan Kaloudis, who's building Zeus. You know, self-custodial Lightning, right? And we have exert pressure on each other, directly or indirectly, for them to say, don't use custodial solution. We're going to make our self-custodial wallet as easy to use as a custodial wallet, right? Which is extremely difficult. And then on our side, how do you introduce education? How do you get people to self-custody? How do you get, you know, and things like this? And so it's just a really vibrant, exciting space to be, to be working across all these different projects, and to come together at a place like El Salvador for adopting Bitcoin to kind of hash it out in real time.
Yeah. And I mean, that experience is like, you know, it's I think it's second to none. I mean, and it is pretty interesting and unique, right? I mean, it's a lot of this communication is done over Twitter, now like kind of moving to Nostr. It's just like, you know, the communication from peer to peer, like literally, right? I mean, it's just insane and absolutely quick moving. But, you know, you guys are working on some great things over at Galloway. I don't know if you can give us a full peek under the hood, but what are some of the exciting things you guys got coming up? You know, obviously, you know, you have Blink, and like you're saying, some of the, I guess, like local communities are forking off of Blink, which was formerly Bitcoin Beach Wallet, to kind of develop that. But is there any exciting things you could tell us a little bit? Maybe break some news here or something like that?
Man, I mean, there's a lot going on. So I am one of the few non-technical members of the Galloway team, and so we're heavy and strong on the technical and the development end. So we build and ship a lot. I think we just, Nicolas shared the other day that, you know, we just reached 1,000 releases of the app, and I think it was of Galloway Mobile repository, if I'm not mistaken. A couple things. I'll just sort of recap something that we mentioned, which people might have missed if they weren't paying close attention last week, is we partnered with the second largest distributor of consumer goods in El Salvador they have 40,000 merchants that they supply in Central America. They're now accepting Bitcoin, and they're running a pilot program specifically around accepting Bitcoin from the retail locations that they deliver goods to, products to. That's huge because part of the problem for merchant adoption is like, I accept Bitcoin and then I need to turn it into fiat and go pay my supplier. And now they're taking away that friction point, right? They're saying, no, we want Bitcoin. We don't actually want the operational overhead and friction and risk of handling cash and accounting for cash all over the place. Like, send us a Bitcoin transaction and we'll actually give you a discount. And so we had the two people from its distributora Morazan in El Salvador, and we had two of them on stage at Adopting Bitcoin. And I was blown away because they're like, look, this is a learning process. It takes time. It takes education. So they're putting together like education programs and like, you know, teaching and signage and like teaching merchants how to A, accept Bitcoin and then turn around and pay their bills in Bitcoin. So I'm super bullish to like go back next year and see what's happened. They have a goal of onboarding 800 merchants in El Salvador to paying their bills in Bitcoin. We just announced the Blink API. So as I mentioned, like Galloway is building open source infrastructure for essentially for unruggable organizations, right? Like, you know, if you want to stand up your own sort of localized community bank and you're, you know, a global company, you can do that with the Galloway stack. However, few enterprises are ready for that level of kind of sophistication and investment into like standing up Bitcoin infrastructure. And so the Blink API, it's at dev.blink.sv, is just launched. And that's a way to accept Bitcoin payments, send Bitcoin payments programmatically, very, you know, simply. Not only that, it's, of course, stable sats enabled, so you can hold the money that you're receiving in a sort of a USD equivalent account. So that's really exciting. The other things I can mention, so we quietly just rolled out NFC, received by NFC. So, you know, you tap your Bolt ring or your Bolt card. Previously it was in beta, but that just went fully live. What else? Really exciting to be working on like next. Our designer's actually around El Salvador right now, and he's submitted a long list of like improvements for the wallet. He called them blips, kind of like bips for Bitcoin, but Blink improvement. and so we have a lot of sort of UX improvements coming folks' way. So what else? Is there anything else? I mean, that's quite a bit right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's great stuff. The fact that you have to say like, what else? I mean, that to me is pretty exciting in itself, right? I mean, it just means you guys are working on so many different things. But what's next for you, Andrew? Are you going to any other conferences? I know we just met in El Salvador. You guys seem to be very, grassroots movement, which is very like very cool for a company and kind of go through there. So are you guys like exploring any of these Bitcoin communities is what I'll call them, like Bitcoin Lake, Bitcoin Jungle, that are like kind of forking off using the Gallo API to see the success that's going on there? Is there any plans to do anything like that?
Yeah, so there's actually a Adopting Bitcoin happening in Cape Town, South Africa in January. End of January. So if you didn't get your fill for Adopting Bitcoin conference, you can go to another one. Our team has traveled around and visited some different communities. And so Noor went to Peru and visited the communities in Peru. She's been to Jericoacoara in Brazil. That's Bitcoin Beach, Brazil. Nicholas or myself will be going to Costa Rica in January. They're having a Freedom Fest in Bitcoin Jungle. In Costa Rica. So we're keeping our eye. I have two young kids, and so I don't get out too much, but I have like a lot of, I really want to do a sort of an African continent tour to visit a lot of my Bitcoin friends in Africa as well. But we'll definitely be representing at a couple conferences here or there. we don't spend a ton of time traveling because we focus on building as much and shipping as much as we can. And sometimes it takes 2 weeks out of your schedule to, you know, go to various conferences, but we'll be out there. And then, yeah, personally, I'm the founder of Rhode Island Bitcoin Meetup in Rhode Island. And so every month, if anybody's in Rhode Island, first Wednesday, we get together. It's a small, steadily growing meetup. We just got our logo on Remy's Sato boat project. The guy, he's got a boat. He's sailing around with a big Bitcoin sign on his boat. And we sent some donations to help him fix his boat after an issue. And we got our Rhode Island Bitcoin logo on the side of the boat. So a little bit from the personal side.
Whoops, I flipped off the camera instead of hitting off mute for a second. But Andrew, you've been very generous with your time and speaking about the grassroots movement and everything like that. You know, obviously your time at Galloway and some exciting things coming forward. Where can everybody follow along? And yeah, like not only with you, but with Galloway and everything you guys got going on over there.
Sure. So check out Blink at BlinkBTC on Twitter. We actually just broke out of the Twitter echo chamber and we're doing Bitcoin 101 education in TikTok and Instagram in multiple languages. So if you go to our Twitter, you can find the link tree on the profile, which is great to like, hey, you know, if you're at Thanksgiving or and you're like you have like a sister or a cousin who's like kind of curious about Bitcoin, but doesn't want to listen to you for like 3 hours. Just tell them to follow Blink on social media because they'll like slowly get the like little bits of education in a fun format. Galloway is at Galloway Money on Twitter or Galloway.io. Oh, by the way, Blink, you can, if you're not in the US, sorry, you can get Blink at get.blink.sv. And then, yeah, personally, I'm at AGBegin on Twitter and pretty much everything else.
How's the Spanish? I have to ask you before I let you go. Is it all right?
My Spanish?
Yeah.
So I actually watched two kids' movies in Spanish on my way home because I was speaking to my driver on the way to the airport in El Salvador using Google Translate like for 2 hours straight. I've been listening to a lot of Spanish because I'm trying to learn, but it's been going slow, but I'm pretty ramped up to like continue the process now that I just was in El Salvador for a week. So I watched Encanto and Coco in Spanish on the way home. And now I'm like, okay, the guys in Berlin, El Salvador are doing Spanish lessons. And so I think I'm probably going to hit them up so that next year, I want to be fluent by next year. I wanted to do it by this year, but it didn't happen. So next year for sure.
Yeah, I feel that, dude. I mean, after being there, I'm like, man, I got to learn some Spanish. I got recommended Gabby. She does, I think it's called the Global Translate or something like that, or Global Spanish. So for those listeners out there, she came highly recommended and she accepts Bitcoin and there's like different teachers from all over the, I guess, Latin American countries. So you can learn the different dialects. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to start doing that. So I'm on the same boat as you, but I didn't watch any children's movies in Spanish. Maybe I should start doing that. I don't know, but
let's hold each other accountable, you know,
yeah,
fluent,
I'll be fluent with you
fluent by 2024 adopting Bitcoin. Yeah.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. All right. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on. And everybody go check out the great things going on at Galloway and Blink. And Andrew, yeah, Andrew's doing great things as well, man. It was a pleasure meeting you. And I look forward to more conversations like this in the future.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.